The Alleluia verse, I think they do that on purpose, where they put a tongue twister in there just to make sure that those singing it will be awake. All flesh shall see the salvation of God. It's like picking up shells by the seashore, you know? My brothers and sisters, the first reading today from the book of the prophet Isaiah, it is so incredibly beautiful. When I hear the words of God's holy mountain and the destiny of it, there is a moment in which the Lord comes, the Lord who has been anointed, the Lord who brings justice, the Lord who destroys the wicked. But then it ushers into a time of incredible peace and harmony and order. I don't know, maybe I'm just getting old and sentimental, but as I read that, it literally wells up within me emotions of joy, of anticipation, and of hope. This is God's plan, that once all wickedness has been eradicated, that he will create this incredible, beautiful harmony of all of creation. On this second Sunday of Advent, we have an occurrence that only happens every once in a while. Today is December 8th. We would normally celebrate the Immaculate Conception of Mary. It's moved to tomorrow. Obligation is lifted. We will have Mass here at 5:30 in the evening. But I think that this celebration of the Immaculate Conception helps us to answer the question, what must we do in order to be prepared to welcome Jesus? Because ultimately, that's the question. That's the whole purpose of the season of Advent. What must I do in order to be prepared to welcome Jesus? So we see in the Immaculate Conception what God decided to do in order to welcome his Son into the world. He prepared a woman. He prepared a mother. He prepared a dwelling place. From the first moment of her conception, Mary was given a grace to remain without sin so that she could welcome with joy, with happiness, the words of the angel Gabriel, and therefore to welcome Jesus, not only within her mind, within her heart, but within her very womb. God did not prepare a palace. His son was born in a stable, in a cave. He did not prepare parties and trees and Christmas lights. He prepared a star in the heavens. My brothers and sisters, if we want to be ready to welcome Jesus, it is not the exterior of our life that needs to be changed or made ready. It is our hearts. It is ourself that must be made ready. Ultimately, it is God's desire to dwell with us. How do we know that? Well, perfect example today. We are here in the church as Catholics. I think it scandalizes me, of all of the things to have doubts about these days, the polls of all of the people that come to Mass regularly. Well, how many of you actually believe in the real presence? Well, I don't know. As Catholics, we believe that the bread and the wine become the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is miraculous. It is a mystery. But we believe. that what Jesus said in John 6, these who eat my flesh and drink my blood have true life within them. That this is Jesus' desire to become present to us in this incredible and awesome way. But this great mystery that we celebrate, the presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, my brothers and sisters, is not so that he can be locked away in a golden prison. Do you understand this? As much as we venerate the presence of Jesus and acknowledge his presence in our midst, not just in an ethereal, spiritual way, but actually present here in our midst, as much as we acknowledge that and honor that, my brothers and sisters, do you understand that Jesus' destiny, when he becomes this for us, his ultimate desire is to be consumed by us? As much as we revere and honor the presence of Jesus here in this church, his ultimate desire is to be consumed by you and me, to make manifest his presence, that we would not be hungry, that in reaching out to him in our need, that he would meet us there in our need in a real and substantial way. His greatest longing is not to be locked in the tabernacle, but to enter the tabernacle of your heart and to meet you there. This is my proof and evidence of what I said earlier, of God's desire and what we must be about in order to prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus. You can prepare your home all you want, but it is your heart that needs to be prepared. It is you that needs to be prepared. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, we will spend so much energy and effort in preparing the exterior because it's easier. It's easier to put up ribbons and bows and a tree and to clean the house. It's easier than to step into the confessional, to renew the grace that Jesus has poured into your life. It is easier to decorate the outside of your house with lights and ribbons and bows than to go to the person whom you have hurt and offended and to ask for forgiveness and to apologize. Yet this is the preparation. This is the conversion that the church invites her people into during this season of Advent. We see it in the context of John the Baptist and the baptism at the Jordan River. Do you understand the context? It's not just going into the Jordan and plunging into the water and coming out. Something happened in the Jordan River years and years and years ago. The people of God entered crossing the Jordan River into the promised land, into the fulfillment of God's promise for them. It was a great and awesome miracle. Do you know the story? The Ark of the Covenant entered into the water, and the waters of the Jordan River stopped flowing, and they flowed south into the Dead Sea, and the river to the north backed up. And the people of Israel entered through the Jordan River, split for them to walk through. And so they walked through. And then as the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, which in fact is the prefigurement of Mary holding within her womb Jesus, as soon as it stepped out of the river, the water again flowed. And so the Jordan River is the sign to entering into the fullness of the promise. And so the people coming to the Jordan River, they would go to the other side of the Jordan River, the place of the desert, not the promised land. And they would confess how they have not been faithful to the covenant that God had imparted this promised land to them. And in confessing their sin, they would pass again through the Jordan River in baptism, just as their ancestors had done before, but to pass through in the recognition that they have failed to be faithful and their desire to be prepared to welcome the Messiah who was coming. That's why John has a conniption when the Sadducees and the others show up at the edge of the River Jordan. Because he's like, really? You're just showing up, aren't you? Show me that you actually are repentant. Show me the fruit of your conversion. Who warned you? You're not serious about this. You're too high on yourself. You're not actually humbling yourself. Why are you here? I mean, he's just giving them a hard time. He's giving them a hard time because he wants their heart to change. So, my brothers and sisters, what about us? How do we prepare ourselves to welcome Jesus? It is simple. We enter into the grace that is present for us. We enter into the grace. We enter into the gift that God has given to us. That Jesus, in his redemption upon the cross, the blood of the Lamb, that we can be made clean, just as we were the day that we came forth from the waters of baptism, being washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, becoming spotless. That we would be without sin, coming forth from the waters of baptism. Do you understand that? It wasn't a partial washing. It wasn't three quarters. It wasn't 90%. We were washed clean from all stain of sin on the day of our baptism. And this too can be renewed in the confessional. When we humble ourselves and we recognize how we have fallen short of entering in, not to a promised land, but to a promised relationship and covenant of grace, where we have fallen short, and to go in there to confess our sins, to ask for forgiveness, and to be made clean. When you come forth from the confessional, renewing your promises of baptism, renewing your desire for conversion, you are washed clean. You come out sinless, my brothers and sisters. Do you understand this? We are renewed as a new creation. And the gift of the Holy Spirit, the fulfillment of it all in Pentecost, is renewed within us. We can say, well, I will convert someday when everything happens like it's supposed to happen and all, we have everything, and then on that day I'll start taking it serious and things, and then we'll start moving into this thing called conversion and grace. My brothers and sisters, the day is today. Because the fulfillment and the fullness of all grace is present for the church today. What are we waiting for? What are we waiting to change in the world? What are we waiting for God to do in order to be able to enter into the grace that is given to us? All grace for conversion, all grace for forgiveness, all grace is present to us today, my brothers and sisters. And so then, what is the stumbling block? What is the obstacle? It's not God. It's here. It's us. We actually have to ask ourselves the question, do we want to enter in? Are we still clinging to the old man within us? Are we afraid of what Jesus will do? Because truly, anointed by the Spirit, Jesus coming into our life, anything that is not of God will be burned up. Anything that is not life-giving will be destroyed. But we will be made new in him. And we can enter into the fullness of it all. My brothers and sisters, it's not just about reconciliation with God. It's about reconciliation with each other. What keeps us from reconciling with each other? Pride? You know, last time I looked, pride was a sin. It was one of the seven deadly sins. What keeps us from humbly entering into this? It is us. But I can't make it any more clear, my brothers and sisters. All grace that is necessary for our conversion, for our transformation, to begin to live the reason that I get emotional when I read this first reading from the prophet Isaiah is because I want it fulfilled, not just out there, I want it fulfilled here within myself. I want this kind of peace and harmony and order that God declares he wants on his holy mountain when he comes and purifies and cleans and transforms, that this kind of harmony will exist in the world. I want it first here within my heart. My heart and my soul long for Isaiah to be fulfilled in me. And all grace is here for me and for you. What are we waiting on, my brothers and sisters? It's all here. All the grace that you need to let go of the old and to embrace the new is present to you today. Jesus wants to come and to dwell within us. He wants the intimacy of love. He wants his kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, to be within each and every one of us. And he wants to make it manifest in the world, in you and in me. So how do you receive what I say today? Are you saddened? Are you disturbed? Or is there hope that is welling within you? Is there the beginnings of joy? What God actually desires to do within us, he will bring to his fulfillment. My brothers and sisters, this is good news. This is the news that transformed the world. This is the news that caused people to leave everything and to go into the known world and proclaim that Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ is living, and he has risen from the dead. Through him, the forgiveness of sin and the fulfillment of all promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the gift that God first gives to you and to me. Let us enter into this gift to be ready to welcome him on Christmas Day. Amen.